Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey, everybody. Have you heard the news?
What's the news?
I broke my arm.
What?
Have you never seen that sketch?
No.
It's an SNL sketch with Emma Stone, and she plays the role of a girl in high school who has broken her arm.
Oh,
and
no.
She gets really popular because she's so cool because she broke her arm. But then she breaks every other limb and bone in her body.
Oh, my gosh. I guess everybody did think you were super cool if you had a cast in school, but I never broke a bone. I've never broken a bone before.
I've never broken one either, because we were both shut-ins.
Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But yeah, we are shut-ins. We don't really go outside, so statistically speaking, I guess, we're less likely to break our bones, but...
I mean, Alex is afraid that she's going to be sitting in her home and a meteor is going to land on her as a sinkhole opens up beneath her.
It could happen. It's happened to other people.
Yes, that's very likely.
It's not an entirely unfounded fear, so...
You could also spontaneously combust at any moment.
It could happen, or, you know, some other horrible thing could just randomly happen. But, you know, I don't know. We've had pretty good track record so far, so hopefully that trend continues. I am really struggling. It is really dark outside, and I'm not used to this kind of darkness recording this podcast.
It's advanced darkness. Well, we're recording this in late November... at 6:30 p.m. So it's pretty dark.
This is just not, it's not normal. It isn't normal.
Does it feel like we're in a liminal space?
It really does. I don't know. There's something about the vibe, and I'm not sure what it is.
I think the only way we can defeat the vibe is to watch all the David Lynch filmography and come out the other side.
We have to continue. Did we talk about that last time? I think we may have mentioned it.
Of course
it.
We did.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we watched Blue Velvet, and the next one is, remind me again?
Wild at Heart, which I've never seen.
Okay. I haven't either.
I spent a lot of time with Alex last couple days because Josh, Handy Andy Josh, came over and took off my tire from my car and put it back on, and it took like 4 hours.
You were so worried.
I was very worried. I was worried for Josh because I was worried the car was going to fall on top of him and kill him. I was worried for the car.
Okay, Josh has automotive knowledge. He is very mechanically inclined. He's done this before.
Yes.
But he fixed your issue, or at least one of them. I think...
He fixed one of many issues.
Yeah.
This is not the first time he's fixed an issue on my car, by the way.
Yeah, he's very nice to have around, and it's very nice of him to do that.
I always buy him food or stuff like that.
Yes, and he's grateful for that as well. But I think... The consensus has become that you have more than one issue, and that was just one of the issues.
I got plenty of issues. My car's got plenty of issues. It's just issues all the way down.
Yeah. What's the next thing that's going to go wrong? I don't know.
Do you collect printed materials that have your name in them?
That is the most random, like, non sequitur thing.
Well, I was just thinking about issues, and I was like, I got plenty of issues because I keep all the magazines and stuff that have my name in it.
Wait, what?
And it's just like,
what? Wait, is this stuff like actually addressed to you, or is it stuff that you just happen across that just has your name in it?
No, published stuff that has my name and contact information in it.
What occasion would my name and stuff be in a published something?
I don't know. Some sort of like conference form or brochure or something. I don't know.
I'm not as popular as you are.
Popular.
I'm not in a printed issue of a magazine.
Well, all it means is I get tons of like weird spam mail and like newsletters I did not sign up for that I get my name put on.
I know. I get the most randomest, weirdest shit in my new address that I'm at. Like, I guess people in the past who have ever had this address before at this apartment.
Your physical mailing
address. Yes, my physical mailing address. Whoever has like lived here in the past and like put this address onto subscription mailing letters or other advertisement letters, I get the weirdest shit in the mail. I get all kinds of weird catalogs. I get like, I don't even know. It's the weirdest crap.
Like, I get 90% of my mail, my physical in the mail is for the previous owner.
Yeah.
Of this condo.
Normally, it's like junk, but I have gotten a couple things that look pretty official, and I'm like, oh no. So I just put on return to sender, but who knows what happens from there.
All right. All so yeah, right. Josh, help me out. And there's more help to come, possibly.
Possibly. I know he considers it to be like a personal challenge now, and he claims, Austin and I can't fathom it, but there are people out there, apparently, that enjoy this stuff. He likes to do the work.
He likes to be on the ground, covered in, like,
yes.
Motor oil.
He's a real gearhead, I guess. Thank God one of us no, is, because...
I'm too prissy for this.
I know. Me and you are both, like, divas. We're like, oh no, dirt. Ah. We play Pokemon. That's how we contribute.
We're like Jesse and James posing sexily in the corner as Meowth is tinkering with machines.
Exactly. It takes all kinds, you know. You gotta have the mechanics, but then you also have to have the people who play Pokemon. Otherwise, you can't have a functioning society.
There are two types of people in this world.
Yes. Clearly. Clearly.
Okay, speaking of playing Pokemon, yes. I got some feedback on our latest episode, or actually 2 episodes ago, from Pokemon Megastar.
Okay, yeah, I think we were missing some feedback last week, so I'm glad we are back at it with some feedback.
Okay, Pokemon Megastar, it seems, is in the same boat as Alex.
Oh?
They have never finished Legends Arceus, which is weird. Because they usually do complete Pokemon games. So, Alex, you're in good company. Not everyone finishes every Pokemon game.
I think I'm probably one of the worst.
I'm pretty bad. I haven't finished a lot of them.
See, okay, I want to defend myself. I do get pretty far in games, or at least I have in the past. Like, I've gotten up to, like, the end. And there have been games where I do get to the Elite Four and beat them, but then I just don't do, like, the post-game stuff.
Every goddamn JRPG I've ever played in my life, I get to the final dungeon and I'm like, that looks hard, and I'm done. And I just, peace out, I'm done now.
And then you leave it and then you forget.
You come back 10 years later and you're like, let me play Final Fantasy V. And you're just like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah. I think it's gotten worse with the more recent games. I think because A, the format and the formula of the games has changed a little bit. You know, they become a little bit more open world. And B, you know, we're adults now. We have full-time, 40-hour-a-week jobs. It's hard to commit to playing something like that without getting sort of, like, distracted.
Also, I would argue the storylines have gone from Team Magma wants more land to, like, pretty involved storylines with multiple characters yes. and subplots. So I think now you have to kind of do it all in one go.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. You have to have your attention centered on the game for a longer period of time to actually take in the story versus, like, the no-consequence storyline of Gen 3.
Team Rocket takes over a radio tower. Yeah. Like that crap.
And then when people tell me, and like you say, and I hear people who, you know, I watch YouTube videos of people playing through, like, Scarlet and Violet, and they're like, oh my god, the story is so good, you know, you just have to get there. And I'm like, I have to take your word for it because it's just too involved. Like, apparently there is this huge, intricate thing going on, and I'm just like, okay, I guess. Like,
yeah, Scarlet and Violet, for all its fuck-ups, has a good storyline after you beat the main thrust of the game.
Yes.
Which is bad game design. It just is.
Okay, I know you're going to call me out, and maybe this isn't this isn't good Pokemon fan of me, but I feel like I don't know if I'll ever get through Scarlet, to be completely transparent. I don't think I ever will. So I've just resorted to watching people play it. So right now, I'm watching a YouTuber play through the Indigo disc. I know I'm kind of doing it backwards, but I thought it was like, oh, it's the DLC. It's probably shorter than like an actual playthrough Let's Play. So I just kind of wanted to know what the story was.
Well, Pokemon Megastar says, apparently there's a whole lore of Super Smash Bros. Brawl with a forbidden 7 characters, which includes the Plus One Minun team.
Ooh.
Because I mentioned they had been scrapped from that Super Smash Bros. Game. And Pokemon Megastar says, I think there is a reason Plusle and Minun were part of the Forbidden Seven. And then just doesn't tell us what that reason was.
What's the reason?
I don't know. Maybe that Plusle and Minun were more of a wet fart than Pokemon Company maybe anticipated.
That is so sad.
Because by the time Super Smash Bros. Brawl came out, they had Lucario. So like we were way past the Plusle and Minun era by that point.
I mean, think about it from a Pokemon Company perspective. What's gonna sell better? Lucario or Plusle and Minun?
Always Lucario. When we get to Lucario, we're gonna have a lot to say.
I think I might. Spoiler alert for Horizons if you haven't gotten there already.
Oh, you know who gets Lucario in Horizons?
I don't. Guys, this is probably one of the greatest mysteries of our time, is the fact that I have managed to avoid spoilers for Horizons. I don't know what happens.
Okay, come over to my house tomorrow and we're watching Horizons and we're going to see who gets the Lucario.
Okay.
Okay.
I can come after work.
Okay.
Are we that close? Are we really that close?
Yeah, we're close.
Wait. We're at the end. We're at the end of the first major storyline.
The first two seasons.
Yes. Me and Austin are currently at the end of the We Made It to Lakwa storyline.
Okay. Just so people know, we are simultaneously doing this podcast and watching old episodes at the same time we are watching the currently airing English dub episodes and not recording podcast reactions to them. So just so you know, this is all we ever do. This is our entire lives, and it's driving me absolutely fucking insane at this point. But it's okay.
Make it make sense.
It's okay.
Make it make sense, people.
So, in our current viewing of Horizons, yes, we are nearly done with Season 2, The Search for Lakwa. We are just about done.
Thank you. Should we be doing that? I don't feel like we're maybe capitalizing on what we should be capitalizing on. Maybe we should be recording current reaction videos, but we're not.
You know what? If you want to do more work for Out of the Drying Pan, feel free to go ahead.
Okay. I would love to do that. Although, as you may have noticed out there listening, I might sound a little different. And the reason for that is I've actually gone back and I'm using my old microphone.
We're experimenting.
Yes. It turns out that this mic that I bought isn't really so great. Go ahead and laugh. You know, maybe I didn't do the correct amount of research before I bought this thing.
Listeners, how does Alex sound? Does she sound better this week or the previous week? Let us know.
Yeah, can you guys let me know, please? Because this has become a source of frustration. And I'm really not sure if it's an operating system, like Linux integration with Audacity thing. I really don't know, you guys. So please just like let me know what sounds better. Because poor Austin, he's really going crazy.
And I know it's bad. It's just I do what I can, y'all. I do what I can.
Austin, this is my official like shout out to you for just working so hard on it. I really want to make it work. I'm going to have to do some research. I think I'm going to have to abandon this other microphone, though, for the time being. So that was my disclaimer.
All right. Sorry, y'all. We are recording after the sun has set, and you know what that means. We're like werewolves, and we lose our damn minds, and we go super high energy, but like super not on topic.
We're feral people.
Yes, we are.
Anyway.
What were we saying?
Any other feedback?
Pokemon Megastar compared the Numble magma harvesting used as heaters to people using Darumaka droppings being used for heating.
Oh my god.
Remember that part of the lore? That's gross.
I think I do, now that you've mentioned that. That's pretty funny.
And MVPs, LVPs. For the Plusle and Minun episode, Plusle and Minun get MVP because they're cute.
They are.
LVP is the drums. Or rather, the LVP is the Pokemon that were stored into drums because that had to be uncomfortable and probably could be considered abuse. I agree.
Yeah. please don't put your pets or any animals into small, like, little cages without any way out.
Don't put them in drums and then play the drums, yes.
No, no.
For the second episode, the Numble episode, the move assist gets MVP and LVP because we like the semi-random factor, but LVP because I forgot it was from Generation 3 and not Generation 5. Who knows assist in Generation 5?
I don't know.
Purloin, maybe?
Hmm. You know, it's really interesting, like, just a quick note on moves. It's interesting how, like, much has changed since Gen 3 to, like, now.
I always think about that when it comes to the special physical divide.
Yes.
That's a big one.
I think that actually comes up in the episodes we're doing this week, so I'm sure we'll be mentioning it.
Yeah. Thanks, Program Megastar. And thanks to Liam, who sent me a very long list of every major DC storyline you can think of for me to check out.
At your request.
At my request, yes. We got classic stuff on here. Some stuff I've read, like All-Star Superman, but a lot of stuff I really need to get to, like Swamp Thing by Alan Moore, Animal Man by Grant Morrison, all sorts of stuff, both recent and classic. I find it interesting, well, honestly, on this specifically, don't worry about it. But yeah, thanks for the recommendations.
That's really great. I am useless when it comes to comics, so, you know, I can't contribute much to that. But we appreciate it regardless.
Alex is jealous that people reach out to me and not her.
Yeah. I'm not as cool, so I understand it.
Cool, she says.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Joe, cool.
Well, we're not talking about cool things this week. We're talking about hot things this week.
Ooh.
Hot, hot, hot. We have two sizzling episodes this week. Poetry Commotion is one. And I think the other one is Going, Going, Yawn. Oh, God, please don't start doing that. Don't put me to sleep. I'm not Corfish. Don't put me to sleep.
Let's flip the coin. Flip. I'm doing the 30 seconds flash challenge for Poetry Commotion. I caught myself.
Good.
And then
good,
you're
good.
Doing the full-length walkthrough for Poetry Commotion. And then we switch.
Okay. All right.
So time me.
I know this has to be a reference to it, and I know we talked about it last time, but Poetry Commotion has to be a reference to the song Blinded Me with Science, right?
I mean, Poetry in Motion is a song from 1960 by the artist Johnny Tilliston.
Oh. Well, you know what?
Let's listen to the song for a moment.
Oh no, we get copyright struck.
No, we're not going to play it.
Okay.
Here, I sent you the song.
It's Poetry in Motion. Oh, am I listening to it on here? All right, let's see. Ooh.
It sounds like he's talking about her ass.
All right, I have to get through the intro. Hold on. Her lovely locomotion.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think he's talking about her ass.
Okay, what year did this song come out? Is
1960.
This like the same era? Okay, is this like the same era as like Buddy Holly and stuff, or was that earlier?
I don't know.
Oh, it was a little earlier. Buddy Holly was a little earlier. Okay, well, I guess it was that sort of same-ish type of thing. But anyway, okay, well, could be that, could be nothing. Who knows? Pokemon is just a mystery, right?
I mean, how old are the people naming these episode titles in 2003 or so, or 2004? I want to know. They would probably be like, what, 30s, 40s?
That's a little older. You think, well, maybe not. Maybe 30s.
Maybe 20s.
20s, 30s. Okay, so that would make them...
Gen X.
Yeah, Gen X. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Their parents grew up with that stuff. Who knows? Okay, we're overanalyzing as we do.
We could easily look up who writes what episode and figure out who it was, but we're too lazy to
No, it's better to talk out of our asses and yeah. Just make shit up that isn't
Let's
true.
Let's spread misinformation. There's not enough of that in the world.
Yeah. Let's do our part.
I do love the Four Kids Flashback podcast. That's a good podcast.
That's a good rec. I haven't listened to it personally, but...
It's good stuff.
You know I love nostalgia.
They're pretty forthcoming about like what it was like in the Four Kids world at the time. And it's like, it sounds wild.
It really is interesting to get a behind the scenes look when you peel back the curtain and be like, oh, how was that really like in practice?
But I mean, you're right. From what they say on that podcast, yeah, it sounds like everyone involved with that was pretty young at the time.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
I could imagine.
I mean, I consider us young, 30s. We're young, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Oh, God. Austin and I, okay, you know what? In these next coming months, I just want everybody to be prepared for both of us to crash out because we both have birthdays coming up at the beginning of the year.
Oh, my God. It's getting really high. I don't like that number going up higher than it already is.
I know. It's, guys, it's getting really real, okay?
You're always a year behind. We do this every fucking year. Is I always am turning a new number, and Alex is 11 months behind me, so she's turning the age I already am, and she's like, oh, I'm so old. And I'm like, oh, my, you think you're old? I've been that age for 11 months, and let me tell you, you are young. Now me, I'm old.
See, I look to you as like a mentor. Like, you've been through it for the past 11 months, so you can guide me on that same life experience.
Christ. I hate my 30s.
See, this is why we cling on to Pokemon. That's why we love it so much, because we can stay young in our minds, right? Everybody loves Pokemon. It makes us happy. I don't want to talk about age anymore. That makes me unhappy.
All right, let's talk about Flannery. She's young.
Are you ready, Austin, to flash forward 30 seconds in time?
Me and the police chase happening right outside my window are ready.
Oh, God. Okay, well.
I can hear everything that happens on that highway now.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. All right, Austin, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, we are in Lava Ridge Town, and Flannery is the new gym leader, and her battlefield is a mess, and you gotta, you know, help her with it. But old Grandpa Moore, who's a creeper, is watching them from the bushes, and he's like, that's not right, because I'm the former gym leader. I did a terrible job with this summary, Jesus Christ. And, okay, so old man Moore is exposed as a creeper, and we see a bathroom. That was really exciting. And we're going to battle Flannery next episode. Bye.
A time. Wow.
That was not my best.
No, what are you talking about? That was fantastic.
Leave me alone. I'm still spinning out over my age.
Okay, well, we have a lot to talk about. I don't even know where to start. Now I'm crashing out. Oh my God, what a podcast. Okay, we've reached Lava Ridge. This is a town famous for its hot springs. And every time I think of Lava Ridge, I just think of Gen 3 and the charm of, like, the graphics back then. Do you remember going into Lava Ridge and the part where the little sand beds were and your character literally just, like, walks into it?
Yes.
I love that. It's so cute.
And the old people are under the sand beds.
Yeah, the old people. But it's literally like your character's just standing there. It's so funny. Okay. So, Ash... you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Ash is going to get my LVP, if I can be first, because he is crashing out in this episode, just like we were earlier. He pitches a hissy fit because the rest of the group is delighted. They're like, oh my gosh, these are the famous hot springs. I've always wanted to have a sand bath. This is so great. We need a rest. We've been trudging through the wilderness. But Ash is like, fuck that. I want to go to my gym battle now. So Max and Brock, they apparently have been sufficiently demoralized. They can't take it anymore. And they're like, okay, Ash, we'll go. And May's like, what?
May's the one who wants to see all different cities. She's the one who wants to see the touristy sites. She's like, I don't want to do that. I want to eat the hot cross buns.
I have a question. Would it be rude? So like if you like picture yourself like in the Pokemon world.
If we're on a journey.
Yes. If we were on a journey, like traveling around. Would it be considered rude, do you think, for, like, May or whoever, Max, to go off and do something else while Ash is in the battle? Or do you think it would be shitty? Like, that they should be there to support him?
I think while Ash is in the battle, they should be with him in the stands to watch and cheer. I also think Ash has a bad habit of leaving Pokemon contests and not being there when May is competing in them. I'm just saying.
See, that's why I brought it up, because I feel like it's a double standard.
You know what May's never going to do is not attend a gym challenge.
She's a real one, okay? Like, she's a real one. She's always there. Despite her, like, desire to maybe go and do something else, she's always there supporting Ash. Ash, you can't say the same about him. So I think it's like a double standard. I think it's like crappy of him not to do the same thing. So that's why I asked.
I will say, remember the time they were in Roxanne City? What's that called?
Rustboro.
Rustboro. And Ash didn't want to go to the gym. He wanted to do all the touristy crap. And he bought all the touristy shit in the gift shop. And they were all like, we're embarrassed to know you.
And in that episode, we completely had Ash's back. And we were like, no, that was so cute.
We want to go sightseeing. We don't want to do gym battles. That's what we want to do. So we're always on the team of whoever doesn't want to do the gym battle right away.
Exactly. And you know what the other thing is? It seems to me the way it works is you can basically go to the gym whenever it's open and challenge them. Like, there's not really a timetable. So it's not as imperative to get to the gym. Like, what's the problem with going around and seeing the town and resting up a little bit?
Well, Alex, you know you have to have a 22-minute episode where you get to meet and know the gym leader and blast off Team Rocket before you can actually battle them in the next episode. Ash is trying to expedite the process.
Sorry. Clearly, even after all this time, I haven't learned my lesson. Anyway, so they acquiesce. They're like, okay, clearly this is priority number one, so we're going to go over to the gym. Well, joke's on them. Turns out, they arrive at the gym, and they just stand there outside and start screaming at the building. Hello in there. Is anybody home?
And then they're like, why isn't anyone answering us? As we're like 50 feet outside the building screaming at no one.
The only logical thing is, I have to imagine they tried the door and it wasn't like opening. So I'm not sure why they just didn't like leave. But okay, then the second option is they didn't try the door and they're just standing there like lunatics screaming at the door. Like, it doesn't make sense. Either way.
Nope.
They're weird.
It's all to set up that Flannery is running around with a chicken with her head cut off because she's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it wasn't already weird enough, Flannery is actively on fire, and Flannery is the gym leader, if you did not know.
Stop, drop, and roll, Flannery. It's the one time you could use... Actually, she's a fire-type gym leader. She'd probably do this all the time. But for most of us, we only get set on fire one time in our lives, and we have to remember, stop, drop, and roll.
I'm going to bring this up again, and I know you're going to roll your eyes.
I'm going to stop, drop, and roll my eyes.
Guys, you do not understand. When we were in school, like elementary school, this was incessant. I can't tell you how many times we were taught about the importance of stop, drop, and roll.
They were trying to stress stop, drop, and roll to us while we were all trying to figure out what we would do if we were stuck in quicksand.
Yeah, that was the other
thing. That and the Bermuda Triangle were the big concerns of the time.
You would think that this would be happening more often, considering how much that they, you know, press this upon us. I was a kid, and I do remember specifically being terrified that my entire adult life was going to be inundated with being on fire at some point or being stuck in quicksand.
Maybe the logic is, if you ever are on fire, you need to have that response ready to go at the top of your brain. They need to really drill that into you. If you were to be on fire, don't you think the first thing you would think would be, I need to stop, drop, and roll, like I was always told to, again and again and again?
Yes, I suppose so.
I think that's the logic of it.
You just think you'd be on fire way more by the way they were talking about it.
I want to set myself on fire just to see if stop, dropping, and rolling works.
Please don't do that.
Okay.
Please don't anybody try that either. And don't go searching out a quicksand pit either.
The quicksand will find you when you least expect it.
Honestly. It might. So, Flannery has forgotten the cardinal rule of stop, drop, and roll, which is absolutely absurd because she's literally the fire-type gym leader. But she seems to be pretty new to the whole gym leader thing, so maybe we should, like, cut her some slack. I don't know. She explains that she was training with her two Slugma in order to evolve them into Macargo.
Meg and Mag.
Meg and Mag.
Gross. I hate those names. Not for, like, people, but I don't like them in conjunction with each other.
Why wasn't it, like, Mag and Cargo? So, yeah, she's pretty new to this whole gym leader game. She's really eager to have a gym battle because it seems like she's never had one before. And this really confuses Brock because he's like, wait a second. And this is, like, typical Brock, right? The one time he actually knows something about another gym leader, it shocked me, honestly. He's like, I thought the gym leader was supposed to be an old man named Mr. Moore.
I thought you were going to be ecstatic that Brock knew of a gym leader before they arrived. I thought you were going to be thrilled.
I can never be pleased.
No, you
can't.
What
can I say?
Were you thrilled when Brock went on to say, I am also a gym leader and so is my dad?
I was thrilled that he said that. However, I am not thrilled in the context in which he said it.
Okay.
Which was him slobbering all over Flannery.
Okay.
But I was happy for the Flint shout out. I was.
I have a note about that.
Okay.
The captions have him say that he was the gym leader of the Flint gym.
Oh, no.
But his actual dialogue, he says the Pewter gym. But I'm pretty sure there was an episode where he said he was from Flint City. So I think they got something confused somewhere, but they must have caught it this time.
That happened before, I'm pretty sure. I think you're right.
Yeah. But they caught it before recording on this one, even though the script said Flint.
Yeah, not the subtitles, no. So does that mean that Flannery has a last name? She's Flannery Moore? Maybe not. I don't know. It depends on her parents.
Let's say there's a roughly 25 to 50% chance her last name is Moore. It could go either way.
Yeah, it depends, I guess. I mean, Ash has a last name, but like he's like the only other one.
He only has the last name in the dub.
Oh, true. Yeah, he's not. Well, Satoshi would just be Satoshi, but.
Yeah, Ash Ketchum is three syllables. Satoshi.
Oh, that's so true. Okay. Well, I guess really nobody then, if you're thinking about it like that.
Professor Oak. Oak is his last name. He's Samuel Oak.
Well, I guess all the professors. Yeah, professors have last names. What am I thinking? Mm-hmm. Good call. Yeah, Mr. Moore is her grandpa, and he is away. I thought, like, at first he had, like, died, but that's not the case. He's not dead. He has just decided to embrace his love of Pokemon poetry.
And yet they don't mention Professor Oak once in this entire episode. What the fuck was that?
Is there a big difference between poetry and haiku in this particular instance?
Haiku is poetry.
I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to operate off of Pokemon's logic, okay?
I feel like Professor Oak should have come to town the week before, and like all the old people were so impressed with him, and they were like, "Oh my god, look at this young man of 50 who writes Pokemon poetry. We're gonna do that too."
That would have been so much better. Like he could have been the inspiration for Grandpa to go off and do this, like, you know, live, laugh, love, self journey, like self improvement journey.
Live, laugh, love, self-improvement journey. I love that.
So, yeah, too bad. I want to believe that's true. Can we just pretend?
Sure.
That Professor Oak was, like, in town for, like a book signing or something and inspired all these oldsters to do the haiku stuff.
We know he makes public appearances like that all the time. That's, like, his main job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got to pay the bills somehow.
God, he's like a...
He's an influencer.
He's like a Neil deGrasse Tyson type, where he's more about the celebrity than he is about anything else.
Yes, I think Professor Oak really leans into the celebrity of it all. He's always on the radio. He's always doing shows. Like, we've seen that multiple times. All right, so Grandpa Moore is off on his little self-help journey or whatever, and has left Flannery in charge, seemingly with little preparation, because, as we'll see, and Max helpfully notes throughout this whole episode, there's, like, all kinds of disarray happening. You know, like, Flannery is impulsive, which doesn't help her, but, like, this gym is basically in disarray. So Max is like, okay, you can't just battle outside. You have to be on an official, like, gym battlefield. So we go inside and quickly discover that the last person to have battled her, or Grandpa...
It's a contradiction. They say last challenger used Dig, but then she said, or Ash says, he's her first challenger. Whoops. Whoopsie whoops.
So, yeah, that was a contradiction. That happens later. So what do we think? Do we think that they did challenge Flannery, or was that the last battle Grandpa did?
I think that was Grandpa Moore's last gym battle is my... Well, that's what I'm going to tell myself.
No, I think that would be correct because she's pretty nervous and, like, it seems like this is her first battle when she gets to Ash. So, I think it was Grandpa Moore's battle, which makes it a little worse because that means he left it like that for her.
he's a bad dude. He's like very uncaring about. And I'm imagining Flannery didn't live here. I think she's moved in.
Wasn't that in the games?
She was a new gym leader in the game, yeah.
I thought she said, I could be completely hallucinating this, but I thought that she said she was like new in town or like new. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she just moved into this place. I don't think it was her home. I don't think.
Anyway, so the battlefield is all messed up. It's full of dirt clods and it's full of holes. And clearly you can't battle in a gym field like that. Normally, I guess, she would have like the gym assistant who would help clean up. But he's actually on vacation because Grandpa went on his little trip. So the gym assistant decided to take a vacation, leaving Flannery to clean up all the mess by herself. Turns out, though, surprise, Grandpa Moore, so this has been 3 days, 3 days since he supposedly left, but it turns out he really didn't get very far out of town at all. He's actually been, like, hiding out in the woods because he is so worried about Flannery, supposedly, that he cannot help but spy on her and how things are going at the gym, which, to be honest, I think Grandpa just has some control issues. And he is spying on her, and he quickly becomes embarrassed at the situation that he has left her in because he sees that she is using the guests, the challengers who have come to the gym, to help do her gym leader duties. So he's like, oh my God, this is a terrible look for us in this gym. Team Rocket, of course, has been absent up until now, but they are also here. They are spying on the twerps as well. And we get another boss fantasy. Meowth fantasizes that Giovanni needs some help with his barbecuing or potentially if he has a power outage. What better way to do that than with a Torkoal? Flannery also has a Torkoal in addition to her Slugma.
As you know, the anime is going to make me love Torkoal.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll... Stay tuned. We'll keep quiet about that, but I will note Ash was very impressed with Flannery's Torkoal throughout these episodes.
It's pretty cute. Have I personally ever used a Torkoal in a playthrough? No, I have not, but it's not terrible.
No. I suppose. You're more of a Numble girl.
I am more of a Numble girl. I think Torkoal has largely been forgotten, unfortunately. I really think that it would benefit from something in the future, Mega whether it be...
Evolution Torkoal.
Yes. I really hope we see that in the future. I hope we either see some kind of evolution or maybe even like a regional variant, but I would love to see a mega. I think, unfortunately, Terapagos has kind of stolen the turtle spotlight recently, so maybe they kind of forgot about Torkoal.
Well, there's a lot of turtles and tortoises in the Pokemon world.
Yeah, that's true. Terapagos is on the mind because we're watching Horizons, so. Anyway, so Grandpa Moore is fed up with all this buffoonery, and he is embarrassed. And so he's like, especially after it is discovered that Flannery does not know where the heat badges are.
Trainers.
Ah, trainers.
Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Tyrogue? Dustox, Togetic, or Suicune?
No. No.
What no?
Oh no, I'm gonna end up being the buffoon. All right, wait, all right, let's be critical. Can you read the question again?
Who beats Tyrogue?
Who beats Tyrogue?
Dustox, Togetic, or Suicune?
Okay, in Gen 3, what typing is Togetic?
Normal flying.
Okay, I am going to say, even though Dustox is also a flying type, it's poison flying. Togetic is normal flying. Suicune... I'm not going to consider Suicune, although I'm sure somehow Suicune's the right answer. I'm going to say Dustox because it doesn't have that secondary normal typing that might make it a little bit, might make Togetic a little more susceptible to a fighting type. So I'm going to go with Dustox.
Trainers, if you said Dustox was a flying type, you were wrong.
What?
It's bug poison.
Oh my God, I'm an idiot. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Trainers, you got it wrong. The answer was Togetic.
I need to retire. I'm done. I can't be a Pokemon podcaster. Don't worry, Alex.
I'm sure there's 13,000 reasons why the answer is not actually Togetic. But
I was so confident, guys. I was like, oh my God.
You thought you had outwitted the trainer's choice on that
one. I know. I was so confident. I was like, oh my God, here's me being meta. I'm so clever. I'm done. Cut the show.
No, you can't cut the show. We still have to get to the bathroom.
Oh my God, we have to get to the bathroom. Togetic it is.
Besides, Togetic would just come with its Togepi army from the Togepi dimension and unleash hell on Earth like it did on Halloween that one time. So obviously Togetic's the correct answer.
Yeah, remember when Austin's Togetic and Togekiss, or was it Togetic? No, it was just Togetic.
It evolved into Togekiss.
Oh yeah, and it destroyed the world. Yeah, I remember.
Togetic obviously wins every battle.
It doesn't matter, because everybody dies in the end. Oh, y'all. Okay.
Get it together, Alex.
I know. I'm spiraling out of control. I can't believe how stupid I am. All right. Back in the bathroom.
We all gather in the bathroom now with a strange old man we've just met.
Yeah, so this guy, okay, so Grandpa Moore, he has a lot of, like, wigs and, like, disguises and stuff.
It's very Roger-coded, yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. He puts on a wig and a mustache or whatever and disguises himself, and he goes into the gym posing as some rando passerby who apparently has a small bladder and he needs to go to the bathroom. I guess Flannery's like, okay, yeah, sure. Our bathroom is down the hall there to the left. And he goes into the bathroom.
And the world changes. It shifts on an axis at that moment as we see a bathroom in the Pokemon world. One that had a toilet. We saw the toilet from multiple angles. And we can thank Ben for preparing us for this seismic moment. Because Ben is the one who pointed out there was a bathroom in this episode, like, a long time ago now.
Shout out to Ben! Oh my gosh! Thank you for remembering that, Austin, as well. This is the moment. I feel like maybe we need to, like, put a little more emphasis on this in that case. The bathroom.
People pee and poop.
I know. They're not just, like, Ken dolls and Barbie dolls. They actually, like, have, like, need to go to the bathroom. Is this the only other time we see a bathroom?
Who knows? I couldn't tell you. I feel like we see tubs and like showers and stuff, but toilets is a different matter.
We saw the whole toilet.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's you need to throw me in the toilet and flush me because I'm still crashing out over the trainer's choice. Okay, so we're in the bathroom. There's a toilet. Wow, big momentous moment.
That's where Grandpa keeps the gym badges.
Yeah, apparently he moves them around every now and then to keep thieves from, like, finding them. Okay.
Like those random gym badge thieves that Misty encountered that one time, I guess?
I guess the word got out.
Okay.
He's trying to be proactive. So, yeah, he tries to keep them safe by moving them around, and the most recent place he has thought to store them is just on the shelf in the public gym bathroom.
Just one more bullet point on the long list of things he did not tell Flannery about before he fucked off.
Yeah, so he didn't tell her that he put the badge case in the freaking toilet room. And so he's like, hey, young Missy, where's the toilet? And she's like, down there. So he goes into the bathroom and he's like, oh my gosh, what do you know? Here's some gym badges. And she is like, okay, that's really weird. But like, also, didn't you have to go to the bathroom? And he's like, not really. I'll go back to my hotel. And nobody thinks that's suspicious as hell.
How funny would it have been if one of the twerps had been like, I bet that guy's Team Rocket.
That would have been hilarious.
That's probably Meowth right there.
Too bad they didn't accuse him of that. Nobody says anything, unfortunately. But Grandpa is still hanging around. He continues to try to help her because shortly after the bathroom incident, Flannery, by way of Max, realizes that she does not have an official, like, referee to judge the battle, which you need for an official gym match. So who returns but Grandpa? This time, he is disguised not as some random man who needs the bathroom, but as a member of the CPPGJ, which stands for the Committee for Popularizing Pokemon Gym Judging.
Sure.
So he's there to ref the match. Great. So Team Rocket appears shortly after. They are disguised as the gym maintenance professionals there to help clean up the holes and other damage, I guess, for gym matches. And both Gramps and Team Rocket mutually recognize one another from, like, when they were spying on the gym. But they keep it to themselves, like, as an inner monologue. They're like, oh, that's those weirdos from before. Meanwhile, they attempt to kidnap Torkoal as they're cleaning up and everybody's distracted by other duties around the gym. But Torkoal apparently weighs a lot of pounds. How much does Torkoal weigh?
Let's find out.
I want to know. Is it something absurd or is it, like, lighter than we think?
It's lighter than me. It's 177 pounds.
Okay, that's not a small amount, though.
No, it's not.
It makes sense that Meowth was struggling to pick it up.
Yeah, because he's little.
But apparently Jessie benches at least that because she just freaking picks up Torkoal like it's nothing.
Okay, I believe that, though. I totally believe she could do that.
Yeah, she's pretty strong. So she grabs up Torkoal, and they all flee in the Meowth balloon, and the jig is up. They realize that this is Team Rocket, of course. Ash tries to step in and save the day, but I kind of love this for him. He is upstaged and outclassed by Grandpa in every situation. He tries to go in with Talo to pop the balloon, but Gramps interrupts, and he's like, go Wingull, pop the balloon.
Why he has a Wingull, I don't know, but okay.
I would imagine being a fire type trainer, you would probably need a water type to help.
For when Flannery sets herself on fire again. Okay.
Yeah. For emergencies. Wingull swoops in, crashes the balloon, and then before Ash can do anything else, Gramps also jumps in with his Typhlosion, which is badass, by the way.
Making a main series debut, by the way.
Is this the first time? Are you kidding?
I can't think of another example.
Wow. Okay, I'm surprised. I guess I never thought about that, but dang.
Jimmy had one, but that wasn't in this main series.
Typhlosion is super cool. It's kind of a shame that we don't see it more often. Flannery is a little suspicious about this, because she's like, oh, Grandpa has a Wingull and also a Typhlosion, but that guess that's just a coincidence. She also jumps in with her Pokemon, Mag, who, after the battle, evolves into Macargo, much to her excitement. And she is jumping for joy, and she celebrates with the judge. And she obviously subconsciously knew that this was Grandpa, because there's kind of an interesting moment where she's like, yay, Grandpa, even though he's in disguise still. And then she realizes the mistake, and she's like, oh my God, you're actually my Grandpa. And back at the gym, so Team Rocket taken care of, goodbye. And so back at the gym, Gramps suggests that it's getting late and that they should probably save the battle proper for tomorrow and they can take a sand bath instead. So guess May got her wish all along.
Hooray for May, the true MVP of this episode.
So that's it. We are leaving off on a little bit of a cliffhanger because the battle itself is not going to be until tomorrow.
Let's flip the coin before tomorrow. You're going first.
My MVP, I don't even know, man. All right, let me start with my LVP. I'm going to give my LVP to Grandpa.
Oh, you're not going to give it to Ash? You said you were going to give it to Ash, but you can give it to Grandpa.
That is true.
Give it to Mr. Moore. He deserves it.
I don't know. Oh, man, I'm stuck now. You know what? Okay, you know what? To continue my trend of hating on Ash, because it's funny, I'm going to give it to Ash like I originally said.
Oh, thank God I get to give Mr. Moore the LVP. I wanted to do that. I did not like him.
Okay, good. I'll make it easy for you.
Yay!
Ash gets it because he had his little hissy in the beginning and was very rude to his friends. And it turns out they didn't even get to have the battle at all anyway, so really it didn't matter. I know he doesn't have a crystal ball. I know he couldn't see the future, but honestly, there would have been nothing wrong with going to get a hot spring or sand bath treatment, then going to the gym. My LVP, this is where I'm struggling. I really don't know.
Your MVP?
Or my MVP, I'm sorry. Yeah, my MVP. I'm really not sure. My mind is literally blank.
I have an MVP, but I'm not going to give it to you.
Is it Max?
No!
Oh, no! No! Okay, you know what? You know what? I'm going to give it to Typhlosion.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You're being very nice to me today.
Okay. You know what? I was going to do Max, but I'll just give it to Typhlosion because apparently this is its debut and it was really cool. My quote is going to be, I guess it was after Team Rocket sees Grandpa spying on them also from the ridge above the gym. James is very taken aback by this, and he says, "What kind of creep would hide up here and spy through binoculars?" As they also are spying through binoculars.
That's cute.
All right, I'm done.
I already said mine. My MVP is Max, because he was calling out Mr. Moore for all his bullshit the entire episode. And my LVP is Mr. Moore, for obvious reasons. My quote is not very good, and this is more in the delivery, but I will read it anyway. Team Rocket is following the twerps. Meow says, "I can't keep up with those twerps." James says, "Why'd they have to be on a journey?" And Jesse says, "Haven't they ever heard of a day trip?"
That's really funny.
I appreciated calling out the format of the show, yes.
I do. I love that. That was cute. I also have one other thing I want to call out.
Okay.
After their balloon crashes and, like, they're laying in the smoking rubble of the crashed balloon, Meowth says, "I need a lawyer." And I know we've talked about, like...
Oh, yeah! We have talked about lawyers. That's right.
We've talked about the judicial system in the Pokemon universe. And I just thought it was funny because I was like, okay, well, if there's a lawyer, then that means there is some kind of...
I mean, they have to. Lawyers have to exist in, like, the modern world. Like, yes, there have to be lawyers.
But we brought this up because we were talking about, if I recall correctly, we were like, okay, there's police.
Do we ever meet a lawyer?
You know what I thought?
What?
I thought, okay, I know I'm, like, totally wrong. I thought, like, Larry from, like, the newer games was, like, a lawyer. I don't know why I thought that.
He's, like, an office worker.
I know. He's just, like, a normal businessman office worker guy. But I don't know why I was thinking he was, like, a lawyer. I don't know.
Don't be a lawyer.
Okay, wait. Was Nanu, was he a cop or, like...
Yeah, he was a cop.
Okay. So, yeah. There's lawyers in the Pokemon world, I guess.
All right, next episode, which does not have any lawyers in it, as far as I can remember.
Yes, okay. I'm trying. I'll try.
Going yawn. In 3, 2, 1, go.
We're in the battle, so Ash is going to use Corphish because it's a water type. We go back and forth because it's a battle, and Ash is pretty cocky, but he brushes Brock off like he always does. Flannery's pretty nervous, but she gets her crap together, and it's looking pretty bad for Ash. And eventually, after some back and forth, he ends up winning the heat badge. Congratulations, Ash.
Time.
Sorry, it's so hard to summarize battle episodes, you guys.
It doesn't matter, because I'm going to do it anyway. We are having a Ash versus Flannery battle, and it's the usual gym battle rules, 3-on-3, but only the challenger can swap out. Which Flannery thinks is unfair. But Mr. Moore says, "Flannery, get your shit together. Goddamn." Ash thinks to himself, this is going to be super easy because this is Flannery's first ever gym battle.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to. I have a question.
Yo.
Is there any... So thinking about the games, and you may not know this, and that's fair. Is there ever a gym battle and or Elite Four or Champion battle where the AI, the computer... switches out Pokemon?
Yes, I remember that happening at some point.
Okay. I was curious, and I wasn't sure when, but I was thinking, like, does that happen, like, during the Cynthia battle or, like, some other time? Because I feel like that has happened.
Yeah, that definitely, it can do that for at least some battles. But in the anime, okay, the rule is the gym leader cannot change out their Pokemon, but the challenger can. That's always been the case, right?
No, yeah, I know that. I just got me to thinking about that.
All right. So anyway, Ash is thinking, oh, this is going to be so easy. I'm going to sweep Flannery just like I did Watson.
Poor Watson.
I threw that in there. Ash didn't actually say that.
No, my God.
I was thinking, oh, Ash deserves to lose for this crap. He's way too cocky on this one. This should have been a Brawly situation. Because he was way too high strung on himself.
He wasn't. Honestly, it's funny you say that too, because I actually watched both of these episodes with Josh, and that was his immediate question to me. He's like, he's gonna lose, right? And I was like, honestly, I don't remember, but I don't think so, because I don't think it continues after this. But, like, it was interesting that he asked that because of the attitude of Ash going into that. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to say, just, I think you might think it's cute, Josh did say he loves Corphish.
I love Corphish too.
Like his favorite. Yeah.
Josh likes the silly ones.
Yeah.
Has Josh met Corphish before this?
I think so. I want to say he may have seen the episode where Ash got Corphish, but I can't recall. Yeah, but he just wanted me to put that out there, too. He's like, I really love Corphish.
So okay.
I
was like, okay. Noted.
Noted. Thank you.
Team Rocket, meanwhile, is going to do what they've now done, I'm sure, several times, which is they're going to dig under the gym, and they're going to pop out halfway through the battle and kidnap everyone. But this time, they don't even get as far as to dig up into the gym battlefield, because they hit a pipe and get blasted off again via a water spout, which I'm like, God damn, that's going to cost a lot of money to repair that. Oh no, Flannery's not prepared for this.
All the people that just lost all their water pressure.
Oh my God, that toilet's not going to flush anymore.
Nope.
Do you love how, as a homeowner, that's where I go? I'm like, oh no, it's going to cost so much to replace that water pipe.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, honestly, like, how does insurance work in the Pokemon world?
We'd have to ask a lawyer.
Because, like, in the real world, some insurance companies won't even insure your property if you're in certain areas or, you know, you're at certain risk of stuff. Like, they won't even insure you. So, like, I can't even imagine how that works in the Pokemon world.
I'm going to go into, like, craze announcer mode for a minute here just to kind of get through this battle. So, Ash's strategy with Corphish is to do what he did that one time with the Slugma girl, because he's fighting the Slugma again. But this time he's fighting Magcargo. He's fighting Mag the Magcargo, which is a stupid fucking name. And he has Corphish use Harden, and Brock's like, I don't know if that's going to work. And I'm thinking, ha, Ash, you fool. Does Harden raise special offense?
Harden raises defense.
Yeah, Harden only raises defense, not special defense, unless I'm mistaken about that. And fire attacks are a special attack, so that's not going to do any good. Harden is worthless in this situation, you dumbass.
I know we mentioned this at the beginning, and I wanted to talk about that, because I looked it up, and this is what you were talking about with the physical special split. And that, I had to remind myself how it worked in Gen 3. Apparently, and correct me if I'm wrong, that applied to types back then versus moves. So that was what I thought was very interesting, in the fact that he used Harden when it would, like you said, it would not have worked at all.
Nope. And you can tell this because Corphish looks like shit. He's like already in the yellow in his HP. But Ash is just like, you can do it, Corphish. So Corphish goes forward with some raw power and he jumps in the air and uses a aerial assault crab hammer and knocks out Magcargo. Goodbye, Mag. Fuck off. So now it's Slugma, not Magcargo. So this is Meg the Slugma, I guess. And Ash says, Corphish, get back in here. I don't want you fighting that fucking Slugma. And he sends out Treecko instead. Because why would he use Pikachu and Taillow when he could use Treecko and be at a type disadvantage? I mean, obviously. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's using Treecko, even though they should know better by now. Slugma's whole deal, Meg is a much better battler than Mag. Because Meg is really into using smog attack and making like a physical barrier around it that you can't see through. But Ash is like, Treecko, just use Bullet Seed into the smog. It'll be fine. But that doesn't work because Meg the Slugma jumps out, pins Treecko to the ground, and Treecko is able to weasel out with a Bullet Seed. And basically, it's kind of a shit show because Ash is like, okay, I guess Treecko was probably a mistake. So he sends out Corphish again. And then Slugma, a.k.a. Meg, uses Yawn Attack and knocks out Corphish for now. Trainers, which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Fortress?
Oh no, I feel like I should sit this one out.
Minun, Swellow, or Seviper?
Okay.
And I should note, they misspelled the name Fortress. They did not have FRs.
Okay, which one is the best to battle Fortress?
Minun, Swellow, or Seviper?
And Fortress, okay, Fortress is a bug steel?
Yes.
Type? Okay, I gotta make sure I'm right, because I was fucking wrong last time. It's gotta be Swellow, right? Please, for the love of God.
Trainers, if you chose a Viper, you were right.
But it's a steel type.
Correct. I don't know anything about steel types and bug types, but I know steel types resist poison types, so that's a fucking mistake. Fuck you, Ash.
Wait. In Gen 3... Does steel just resist it, or is it immune?
I'm pretty sure it's half damage.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was immune. Hold on.
These trainer choice questions are making us so technical these days.
Guys, we are that stupid. I know you guys are laughing. You're like, this is first grade SpongeBob. But like, seriously? Ah! Okay, battle properties.
Oh, no, you're right. It is immune to poison.
Was that the case in Gen 3? Okay, in Gen 2, the steel type's immunity to poison type moves means steel type Pokemon can only be poisoned by Twin Needle and cannot be badly poisoned. Starting from Gen 3, steel type Pokemon are innately immune to both types of poison unless the Pokemon inflicting it has the ability Corrosion, which wasn't introduced until Gen 7.
Oh my god, my brain is melting. But in conclusion,
that was from Bulbapedia.
Poison would not work on Fortress at all, and Seviper is not the correct answer. I don't think there is a correct answer.
Swellow?
Would it have neutral damage?
Swellow, okay, but it says what's the best choice to battle it. So it wouldn't be the absolute best.
I think it would, like, neutralize it. It'd be, like, normal.
Okay, wait. Yeah, defensive properties.
Oh my god,
we are,
okay.
Flying does half damage to steel types. And, wait, is Swellow normal flying as well?
Yes.
Yeah, so it would resist normal and resist flying. So I think it would just resists.
But it also resists electric, right? No, wait, no, it doesn't.
No. Wait, so would Minun then be?
I think Minun would be the correct answer because steel type moves are half damage against electric types.
No, oh yeah, not very effective against electric. Oh my god, okay, so then
it'd be Minun.
We got there eventually. It'd be Minun, right?
Not Seviper.
Tell us if I'm wrong. I know you guys know more than we do. Would that be correct? Is our logic right? I want to know. Let us know.
God, we are so dumb. Anyway.
Oh my god, not as dumb as I was. I think I get, you know what? I should give myself LVP for last episode. Anyway.
Too late, already done. So.
Jesus.
Now, Corphish is asleep, so Ash sends in Pikachu. And Ash is like, Pikachu, listen with your special ears to hear Slugma through the smog. And so Pikachu does that, but it still is unable to hit. And Pikachu gets defeated? No, Pikachu defeats Slugma by electrifying the entire smog cloud, which I thought was bullshit.
That was bullshit. That does not work like that. Come on now. It's not a body of water. It's a smog haze. Come on.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket, they're still not done because we have a whole boss fantasy to get to.
This one was arguably better than last episode.
Well, yeah, because Giovanni was not wearing clothes.
And also, he wasn't chibi. Last episode, he was, like, chibi, and it was, like, the cartoony Giovanni. This one was, like, the real Giovanni.
We like real Giovanni, not chibi Giovanni.
Yeah, and also when he doesn't have any clothes on.
Yeah, so Team Rocket has found a hot spring, and they've switched into their, like, little bikinis to get into it. Meowth has a weird boss fantasy where he's like, what if the boss was traveling through a blizzard, and he found a hot spring? He would reward us, because we also found a hot spring.
I mean, maybe it's, like, one of those, like, you know, being set on fire, falling into quicksand. You just never know when you're gonna be in a blizzard situation.
I think Team Rocket is, like, in a weird fugue state. I think, like, the heat's getting to their heads because they're not thinking very clearly. And then they see a bunch of Ursaring in the water and they're like, hey, get out of here. This is our spot. And the Ursaring blasts them off again.
I mean, isn't that true? If you spend too long in a hot tub, like, it does, like, fuck with you. I'm pretty sure it like, dilates all your blood vessels, and I think there is physical effects. Like, you don't want to stay in the hot tub too long. It really can, like, cause you to be really sick.
That was your lesson from Alex for today.
Don't spend too long in the hot tub.
Yeah.
You could, you know, die of that or slip or whatever. And also, hot tubs are really, like, unsanitary and disgusting, so...
Gross. Meanwhile, it's Torkoal versus Pikachu, and Iron Tail is ineffective against Torkoal's iron defense, which Ash is really impressed by. Torkoal starts using Overheat, and Flannery really spams the hell out of that Overheat move. That was a miscalculation on her part, because Brock tells us that Overheat loses power every time you use it. I'm pretty sure Overheat makes your special attack go down every time you use it. Is that correct?
Yes, I had to look it up.
It's not Overheat specifically that gets lower in power. It's your entire special attack stat. But close enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess by that logic. I mean, Brock does say Overheat's power becomes less every time you use it. But I guess if your special attack goes down, then it isn't as powerful. So in a roundabout way, he's right.
The first Overheat knocks out Pikachu. And that means the only Pokemon left is the sleeping Corphish, who is lit on fire for quite some time. It's kind of like a crawdad boil.
Oh my god. I felt so bad for it.
Oh my god. It's like, see, you can see the steam coming out between its little joints.
I know. It's like getting roasted alive. Poor thing.
Corphish, thankfully, has the power of comic relief on his side. And he's able to wake up and he's like, ah! Gorr!
Poor Gorfish.
Gorfish keeps on bouncing off of Iron Defense, and Ash does a thing where he's like, Torkoal is impossible to hit when it's inside that shell. I gotta turn my thinking on its side to 90 degrees and figure out how I can get Torkoal out of the shell. So he does something kind of simple. He has Gorfish crab hammer Torkoal from the side and knock it to its side. It starts kind of spinning, like breakdancing, causing the Torkoal to get all dizzy and pop out and be like, Toy! So that allows Gorfish to get the killing blow, and Torkoal is out of commission, and Ash and Gorfish win, even though Ash made some bad calls, so did Flannery. So Ash was correct to be smug about how competent he was and how incompetent Flannery is, and he wins the heat badge. The end.
I definitely think that Ash would have had his tushy handed to him if he had been up against Grandpa more.
Yes, for sure.
I think Ash only won by virtue of Flannery's novice status.
Yeah, she made some bad calls.
Interesting to think about. I don't think Ash was prepared for that at all. I would really, really love to start seeing some of Ash's Pokemon evolve. Just putting that out there.
You're in luck.
Oh my god, I think I really have a knack for this. And I'm not even kidding you guys. If this is really happening soon, I did not look ahead. I don't know what's happening, but I just got that vibe.
Not like soon, but I think you've A, seen these before, and B, know the format of the show and how it works. And so you have an inkling of when the team changes are going to happen.
Is my subconscious, like Flannery subconsciously knowing that it was her grandpa, like me subconsciously knowing that this is coming up?
You know who's going to catch what and what's going to evolve into what. So stop. Oh my God. Don't be too, it's in the fucking theme song, girl. Like, don't be too impressed with yourself.
I don't watch the theme song, man. I skip ahead.
Okay, okay.
I got valuable time. I can't waste on watching the
theme. Well, I don't have any valuable time. I have no life.
Oh, Lord. Well, isn't that exciting? Ash got his he's got his badge, and he can stop bitching and moaning about getting to the gym.
Next gym is Norman.
Oh my god, that's true.
MVP, LVP, and quote. Am I heads?
You're asking me? I don't even know. Heads, yeah, no, yeah, you're heads. Yeah,
I'm heads. Tails. Okay, I'm going first. MVP is going to be Gorfish, because Gorfish is cute, and he was able to kick ass against some slugs and a turtle.
Give us your best Gorfish voice.
Gorfish!
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 Love it.
Fish car.
Would you have preferred Crawdon, or do you think it's just as fine as it is as a Gorfish?
By the time we get to the end of this, it should have evolved into a Crawdon, yes. But for now, I think Gorfish is fine.
Okay.
Especially a Crawdon with Gorfish's personality. That would have been fun.
Oh, don't do that. That makes me sad. We never got that.
LVP. I'm tempted to give it to Ash. In fact, I think I will give it to Ash. That was some bullshit. He didn't deserve that victory after being that full of himself.
Y'all, it's happening. Ash, LVP. Austin gave Ash LVP.
I give Ash LVP all the time.
I know, because he deserves it.
He's my boy, but I'll call him out.
Fair.
Oh, my quote. I forgot.
Yes.
God, this was not the greatest quote episode. I guess I'll kind of go with James saying, "What's our sinister scheme du jour?"
Oh, I completely missed him saying that.
Yeah, I'm like, we all know how routine this is at this point.
Okie dokie then. I don't know what to do. It's a battle episode, so like, there's not really a lot of major players here. I am going to give my LVP to Pikachu.
Oh!
I guess. I don't know. I think Pikachu should know better by now. I mean, yes, technically Ash is the trainer and he's instructing Pikachu, but like, come on. I mean, Pikachu's been around the block so many times at this point. I feel like the whole, oh, I can't see the opponent shtick is pretty like tired at this point. I feel like we've had a lot of other battles where we've overcome that, and not being able to hear through just like a smog is kind of silly. Plus the electric smog attack was ridiculous. I don't know. I just think Pikachu wasn't his best this episode.
not the best physics. It wasn't very exciting.
No. I know that's not Pikachu's fault, but, like, he's my scapegoat, so that's what I'm going to go with. My MVP is, you know what? I'm going to give it to Flannery.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, she started out pretty nervous and, like, kind of throwing the game a little bit at the beginning because she was getting so flustered and wasn't able to really strategize correctly. But it seemed like she was really kind of digging deep into the lessons that her grandpa had taught her in the past. And she does really pull off some really good setup moves. Like, I kind of liked her use of Reflect and Smog. And it wasn't just like an all-out offensive attack. You know, she had some setup stuff going on, which I thought was pretty sound strategy. I think she learned a lot even in one battle. My quote is... I actually have two. Okay, so my, like, official quote, I guess, is when...
For the archives.
Yeah, for the archives.
For the official record, yes.
Yeah, because Austin measures these things, you guys know that.
I do not measure the quotes. That would take too much time. I'm not doing that shit.
But yeah, just to be on record, this is the official quote I'm picking, is Meowth during his boss fantasy says, "Imagine the boss, exhausted from slogging through the winter snow, upset with his incompetent underlings." And Jesse says, to which incompetent underlings are you referring? And James replies, yes, anyone in particular? I thought that was funny. And then my secondary quote is, I like this. I thought it was stupid in a funny way, but it was very Ash. And so I wanted to just call it out. Ash says during the original battle, I think it was, oh no, this was when he called back Treecko, or called out Treecko against Flannery's Slugma. He says, even the strongest attack is worthless if it misses. Ha! Which I thought was really cute.
That sounds like a fucking anime villain in that moment.
I know! It was so silly, but it's such Ash. It's such an Ash thing. I don't know. I loved it.
I want him to be humbled again. I don't like this cocky streak he's got going on here.
That is... Maybe he will be humbled by Norman. Maybe.
He's going to be humbled by someone, but it's not Norman.
I was just also going to say, I think maybe I'm going to change my mind. I think that's my official quote. I like it too much.
Okay. So, lawyers take note. That's her official quote.
Yes.
All right, that's it.
All right. Any other thoughts on either of those two episodes, Austin?
We're at the halfway point, gym badge-wise.
Oh, wow. I know. 4 out of 8. That's pretty good.
I mean, May still has 4 ribbons to go, so it's going to be a while.
Yeah, but... I think it'll be worth it in the end. God, just wait until we get to, like, the Battle Frontier. Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Battle Frontier is going to be fucking wild.
All right, Austin, what is next week as we continue on through this adventure?
Next week is going for a Spinda.
Okay.
And this Pokemon might sound familiar to you. All Torkoal, no play.
All Torkoal, no play? What?
What is the pun there? All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy?
All workhole, no... What? It doesn't even make any sense.
All workhole makes Jack a dull boy.
Bad. I'm sorry, bad.
Yeah, not the best. But that's okay. I'm sure our episode title this week is going to be shit, too.
We really do. Okay, maybe it is harder than you might think. So maybe we're being too critical.
I'm still not happy with Cosmopolitan, but it was the best I could think of.
Yeah. We're being too harsh. That wasn't our best either, so.
Didn't we have a good one recently, though? What was it? Oh, Comfortably Numble.
Yeah.
That was you. You came up with the Pink Floyd reference.
I want to pat myself on the back. That was me.
Alex doesn't even like Pink Floyd.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not a big fan. I do like other classic rock bands of the era. I mean, one of my favorite bands is Rush, but not so big on Pink Floyd, unfortunately. You had a big Pink Floyd phase.
Of course I did. Of course. You know me. Of course
I did. Of course you did. All right, Austin. Any other additions or...
Subtractions.
Subtractions, divisions, multiplications you want to share?
Nah, some parentheticals for you if you want them. But otherwise, I'm good.
All right. Well, I'm going to carry the 2 and get us out of here. All right, guys.
No more math. No more math. I'm done.
No more math. I can't math. Math is in the past. If you're still with us, hopefully you are. I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening. We always love to hear from you. We really appreciate your comments and feedback, and we hope you keep it coming. You can always reach out to us. We have our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our social media accounts. We have a Blue Sky. Austin posts really fun stuff over there all the time, so check that out. We also have an Instagram, same handle for both, @outofthedryingpan. Give us a follow over there if you'd like. We'd appreciate it. Leave us a review. 5 stars. It really helps us out as well. And if you really like this podcast and want to support us, we would appreciate that. We have a Patreon. We have all kinds of bonus content that you can check out. So please consider giving that link a click. Our description has that. You can find it there. And we want to say, as always, thank you guys so much for joining us this week. And we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.